Good afternoon, everybody. It's Federica with the show. So did you hear? I'm actually here by myself today. I'm kind of experimenting with doing these solo episodes. It's definitely a little different than having a guest, and it's been a little bit of a learning curve, but I realize it's something that I kind of enjoy doing, and I can go into a little bit more depth about topics that I want to discuss but maybe don't necessarily have a guest for. So I hope that this will be an interesting conversation for you guys. I know this is actually a subject that I have brought up on the show a little bit, especially in my conversation with Joanna Meadows about mental health. And mental health is a subject that I just keep coming back to because it is just so prevalent in life in general. And there's just so much to talk about and things that are important to discuss and bring attention to and keep the conversation going about mental health. It's really something I'm passionate about just in my own values and so I want to keep that conversation going. And this topic specifically is like very personal to me because it's shaped my personal life in a lot of ways. And I find that I'm still processing my journey. And sometimes there's a lot of things that I want to express and say about my journey, but don't necessarily know who's there to listen or where to express it. But I figured this is a great opportunity for that. So today I'm going to talk about my journey with ADHD and just talking about ADHD in general. And I feel like this is a topic that is also really very misunderstood in general society, especially adult ADHD. And of course, living with the disorder myself is something that I'm constantly learning about. And it's been a really interesting part of my life journey. So I thought it's definitely worth giving some specific attention to on the show. And if you are somebody who's listening to this and you have ADHD, hopefully, maybe you'll be able to relate. Hopefully it's informational and supportive information for you. Or if you know someone who has ADHD, I hope this is kind of eye-opening and maybe helpful to you as well. The reason I kind of came across this subject, or this came up in my mind, is I was on Reddit, going down the Reddit hole. That's one of my favorite pastime activities when I'm sitting at home relaxing or traveling. And this is actually when I was flying back from Vegas, my fiance and I went on vacation in Vegas this past, 2 weeks ago now. And I was just scrolling through Reddit, as I usually do, and there's a subreddit that I follow, which is it's an ADHD dedicated subreddit. And I followed this subreddit because I've found some useful information, and it's been an educational resource in some ways for me. Sometimes people share resources to like websites or links or just helpful ideas, which is always really helpful and an important part of being able to live with any kind of a mental health challenge, any challenge really. So I found it informative, and it's a community that I feel like I can relate to and connect with. And I don't always agree with everything that's said on there. There's a lot of people that sometimes go down a road that just, I don't find to be helpful, but that's the internet for you. So anyways, I found a post that caught my attention, and it really made me think. And this is a trend that I've noticed, and I hadn't really thought about in this way before, but the more I thought about it, I noticed this is very true. And this is true not only of like just the community on Reddit, but I've noticed this in general, just in external society. So I'm going to read the post that somebody made on the subreddit, and then I'll go into like the response that I crafted as I thought about the question and go from there and really open up the discussion. So let me open up the conversation here. Okay, so this was a thread. It was posted. I won't mention the username, but on the ADHD subreddit, and the post goes, Most other disability communities talk about how they don't want to be quote-unquote cured, but rather they want acceptance and accommodations. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I noticed that a lot of people in this sub are more resentful of their ADHD, and some even admit they wish they could be cured. Why is this? So that really got me thinking, because it's a pattern that I've definitely noticed, like, on the subreddit, but it's not even just exclusive to the subreddit. The more I thought about it, the more I noticed, like, this is just true in general. In my experience with ADHD and the way that I've observed, like, other people with ADHD kind of discuss their experience and talk about their experience, there is definitely a lot of kind of self-resentment is a theme that came up a lot. I can't really speak from experience as far as people from other communities of people with neurodivergencies or other mental health disorders, but I know that, like, somebody gave an example in the comments about the ASD community subreddit, so Autism Spectrum Disorder community, and I just looked on that subreddit out of curiosity, and I mean, yes, there were some people kind of venting about some of the hardships of their experiences, but it was definitely a little bit a different narrative. There wasn't as much self-stigmatization. It was more about how to better advocate for recognition, just how basically society could do better, and also what's working well, and a lot more concentration around self-acceptance, which is wonderful, and I really, really love to see that in mental health-related conversations. But yeah, I noticed, like, this is definitely true. The way ADHD is perceived and how people experience it, and as far as how it affects their own, like, self-perception, is kind of different than some, like, how people I've noticed people with other disorders describe their experiences. And again, this is not to, like, discredit or make general statements about any neurodivergency or anyone experiencing any kind of mental health condition, because everyone's experience is unique. But just noticing, specifically within the ADHD community, there is a prevalence of self-resentment and negativity. And I found that I had kind of experienced this myself. And so I crafted a response, and I really wanted to be very honest and transparent, and I put a lot of thought into it, because I realized, though this isn't just an issue of perception, it's not like it's something that's, I think, boils down to the individual. I think it's a symptom of a greater issue that is present in the rest of society, and how ADHD is perceived and understood, and therefore how people respond to it and how it is accommodated to, and what level of acceptance or lack thereof there is in general society. So here's what I had to say. In response, I said, I see this narrative a lot on subreddit. I think it's a cry to be heard and seen, because so many of us are denied that right in the external world. Society, in my view, does not hold sufficient space for people with ADHD, so a lot of people misdirect unresolved frustration back at themselves. There's a lot of internalized stigmatization there's a lot of internalized stigmatization among people with ADHD, and I think many people with this disorder fall prey to this relative to people with maybe other conditions or disabilities, because ADHD is grossly misunderstood in most of society, and therefore our experiences are often invalidated. ADHD is kind of a sneaky disorder in that its symptoms are often not outwardly visible and can be hard to identify. Because of that, it often goes unseen, even within yourself. People can't ask for accommodations that they don't know they need. And many people, like myself, who was diagnosed as an adult, go through a good chunk of life not understanding why they just can't seem to do certain things as is expected, and are often reprimanded for it. And this creates self-resentment. So I'm going to pause for a second. So this is, like, I've definitely experienced this personally, like in work, my work experience. In fact, that's what prompted me to first look into getting diagnosed, or like what made me ask questions. Like there were just certain tasks that I could not for the life of me like do right, and it usually had to do with like boring, tedious, monotonous tasks. And it was like no matter how hard I try to focus or like get it right, I just like my brain did not want to do the task. Like I just couldn't get it. And then thinking, knowing now what I know about like the disorder and everything I've learned, looking back in my life, there was a lot of other places where this manifested. I generally did pretty well in school, but only in subjects that interested me. And I want to come back to this because it's really important with understanding ADHD. But I always seemed to struggle with like things like math and science, things that required a lot of focused, detail-oriented, kind of tedious tasks, and that it wasn't interesting to me. Like, if something is not interesting to me, my brain throws it out. It's like, this isn't interesting, it's garbage, you're not gonna do, you like, it's not important, essentially. And it's like, no matter how hard I try to like focus or remember things, like it just was, those things just do not stick in my brain. And this kept happening, and it started to become an issue. And I just never really understood what was going on. I think that had I like known what I know now when I was younger and gotten a diagnosis and treatment, like, maybe things could have gone a very different way. I think I would have had a much better sense of what was going on, and therefore how to navigate around the complication of having the disorder. And like, I feel like I would have had more guidance and maybe not had to struggle as much. And I think that's really the thing that for me has caused a lot of feeling of like resentment is, well, thinking about maybe how much better things could have been handled, or could I have avoided some of the pain that I've had to endure, like I've had to like go through with work, school, etc., had I just like known what was going on. But at the same time, like, it took me literally failing at my job to really seriously think about, like, maybe there's something else going on. Maybe, you know, there's something going on here. Like, there's just something not clicking. It's not my effort. It's not because I'm not intelligent. Like, I know I'm capable of doing good work in school, I'm very articulate, like I'm a capable person. There's just something else going on, and that's the thing that makes it, like, one of the things that makes ADHD so hard to identify and diagnose, especially in adults. So yeah, that I think that collective experience clearly, it's a lot of like self-resentment, and that leads to, you know, that any kind of self-hate or self-resentment is going to create other mental health problems. And so, and I want to go into some stats that I found about ADHD that will go more into more depth about that, because that's very, very prevalent. Okay, and then so expanding on that idea, I continued with the state with my response, and so I think talking about having not recognizing your own symptoms, not knowing what's going on, not understanding where your things are just not working for you, and therefore reflecting that resentment back onto yourself. And I go on to say, this is also amplified when your primary symptoms don't necessarily fit within the narrow category of what's commonly recognized. And that's the next big problem. So many people, including my past self, have a very narrow and misinformed view of what ADHD looks like, and therefore don't understand it's not just a disorder that affects kids, or that hyperactivity and not paying attention are two of like 30 possible symptoms. Because the mainstream view of the disorder is narrow and misinformed, some people also tend to minimize its severity and therefore either not take it seriously or downright deny it's real. That's another thing I've noticed a lot on like this subreddit, where when people come on there to vent or rant and share their experiences, I see so many people talk about relatives or friends, like, or employers, etc., basically saying that they don't believe the person when they say they have ADHD. I don't know what other like mental health issue or developmental disability gets this kind of treatment. I tend to find that in most cases, like if somebody says that they have autism spectrum, or they have AT, or if they have ASD or, you know, some other condition, people tend to believe you. And with ADHD, there's this general sense of disbelief and skepticism in society about whether you're even being real. And that in itself is also a huge obstacle. So I go on to say the outcome is a sort of boy who cried wolf scenario, which puts the burden of educating and re-educating oneself, so you, the person that has the condition, as well as others, about the condition, and fighting for recognition and validation back, while also dealing with the burden of coping with the disorder itself. So there's a lot of layers going on. One, you're coping with the disorders and learning about yourself and how they affect you, because ADHD affects everybody a little differently. So there's that. And then on top of it, you're having to continue to basically advocate for yourself. And then you also have to deal with the fact that maybe some people will literally not believe you or take your condition seriously. And I know I've had this happen at work. Or maybe like people just are not equipped to know how to be supportive, be a good support system to people with ADHD, because it's just, there's so little currently well understood about adult ADHD. It's really only been studied in and of itself as its own form of the disorder within the past decade. And so, I think really what that creates is a situation where there isn't a good solid support system for people with adult ADHD. And so when you're in a situation that you are constantly struggling, not understanding why, or when you finally do understand why, people still don't accommodate or are willing to be supportive, it creates a lot of frustration and self-resentment, which creates issues like anxiety, depression, etc. So this is a really complex situation going on. And I find that just speaking up about it and sharing my experience really helps, and it helps me feel validated and heard. And my wish would be that if basically somebody tells you they have a condition or are struggling with somebody, just listen, you know, don't disbelieve them. Like, give them a chance to express what their reality is. And you know, if somebody says they have accommodation or they're struggling with somebody, just like hear them out. It's really simple. I think that's the thing that would be most helpful to me. And so unfortunately there's a lot of disbelief with ADHD people. Like, I even had this encountered this at work sometimes, where I said like, oh, you know, there are certain things that I struggle with, like as far as like doing long paperwork, or I, you know, need to take more breaks. It helps me stay focused better. And in some cases, like, it really depends on the individual and the place, the business or the organization. I've had responses from people that have been very supportive, and then I've had others where they were basically like, well, don't you take medication? It shouldn't be a problem. And like, that is such a huge, huge, huge myth. It is like, medication does not fix your problem, like the quote unquote problem. Like, it that's another misconception and myth about ADHD. So I got some stats and wanted to just kind of read really what's really going on here, and whether, you know, the studies reflect the reality that a lot of people are reporting to experience. I found a graphic called the ADHD iceberg, and I thought this graphic really was felt very true to me, and it speaks to the what I was saying about ADHD symptoms not being recognized for what they are. So I think this is really interesting, because the name of the disorder itself is misleading. So ADHD, meaning attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder. So what the name is doing is describing two symptoms of a general disorder. This is a poor practice for naming any disorder, because it minimizes and narrows what people perceive as being a valid part of the disorder. So if ADHD supposedly only affects attention and hyperactivity, then people are missing, you're already kind of training your mind to miss a whole other slew of symptoms. Like, that's before I got diagnosed or started looking into ADHD, I thought the same thing. It was like, oh, it's about having trouble focusing and fidgeting. And that's just so inaccurate, because as the more that ADHD has been studied and better understood, particularly in adults, the more we find that there's many, many, many other manifestations of the disorder that go overlooked. So if trouble focusing and fidgeting are the layers that are sitting above the water in the iceberg, on the graphic you look here underneath the water, there's a huge like list of symptoms. And this is like, so the top is what people think ADHD is, trouble focusing, fidgeting, and below goes what ADHD actually is. And I'll list some of the other symptoms. So poor sense of time, definitely experienced this one. Like, I cannot keep track of time for my life. All or nothing mentality, trouble recalling commonly used words, names, sleeping problems, auditory processing disorder, trouble regulating emotions, definitely yes. I've had a lot of trouble with that in my past. Chronic unemployment, forgetting thoughts 0.2 seconds after having them. Yeah, sometimes that happens. Rejection-sensitive dysphoria. Now, what that means is basically people with ADHD tend to be very sensitive to rejection or failure. There is a perfectionism sort of mindset. It goes into all or nothing thinking, perfectionism, and rejection sensitivity. People with ADHD tend to be very critical of, like, very sensitive to judgment and rejection or failure in general. There's a sort of, it's either all perfect, all everything, or nothing. And this is something that I know I've definitely struggled with in the past, and it's taken me a lot of therapy and just practicing self forgiveness, and also also learning that this is a common symptom, and therefore learning to disassociate myself from the symptom to be able to better cope with. This is a huge, huge, huge part of ADHD, and really important thing to pay attention to. So, because that will really, like, that can really determine a person's ability to succeed in life. Life isn't linear. Progress isn't linear. So if you're in pursuit of any goal, you're going to have, when you come across obstacles and failure, you need to have that sense of perseverance and also self-forgiveness to keep going. And that's something that can be, it's hard for anyone, but is especially compounded with ADHD because of rejection sensitive dysphoria. So it's really important to pay attention to. But moving on, losing items relentlessly, yup. Difficulty switching tasks or inability to stick to one. Choice paralysis or analysis paralysis. Problems focusing on things even if they are of interest. Poor impulse control, executive dysfunction, depression, anxiety, sensory processing disorder, financial problems, uncontrollable fidgeting, hyperfixations, mood swings, difficulty following and maintaining conversations, inability to focus, even if there are no distractions, and forgetting to eat, sleep, or go to the bathroom in some severe cases. Okay, so this is a very long list, and obviously not everybody is going to have all these symptoms, and everybody is going to experience them in the same way. In my experience, I can tell you, like I said, the ones that I've experienced the most are like the mood swings, rejection sensitive dysphoria, which is also very common with women. Women tend to exhibit symptoms a little differently than men. So the internal symptoms, the emotional and inattentive type tendencies come with ADHD, the ones that are more invisible are more common in women, and also plays into the fact that or why women are underdiagnosed versus men. Trouble, that one not so much. So anxiety, definitely. Rejection sensitive dysphoria, forgetting things, poor sense of time. I think hyperfixations, maybe. This is one, some of these, it's like, I don't know if this is just a personality thing or if it's part of ADHD, which also makes it so hard to diagnose, because these are very kind of broad, generalized symptoms. And, like, so hyperfixation, I think that tends to generally mean, like, when you're, like, lost in a task or focusing on something, it's like you can only focus on that one thing. So it's not necessarily... ADHD is not only not being able to pay attention to things, it's also, like, paying too much attention, like, getting so lost in one thing that creates this sort of tunnel vision, laser focus, and inability to switch to different tasks or, like, transition. So I think that's more, has to do more with tasks. I noticed this, like, so with my dad, once I got diagnosed and I told my dad and was just talking with my family about my experience and the symptoms, etc. And the more I learned about ADHD and, like, the more my family learned about it, my dad realized, like, he's very, very much ADHD, but he has never been diagnosed. So this is my dad that lives in Italy. It's the disorder is recognized over there, but it's not as prevalently addressed, which is also, I also find very interesting. So there's cultural factors at play here as well. But, you know, the more I noticed, the more I learned about the symptoms of ADHD and what it actually looks like, the more, like, he learned about himself. And I can tell you for sure, he's one of those people that hyperfixates. Like, if there's a task in front of him, he will not, like, he really struggles to, like, move from task to task. I don't present this one as much. My hyperfixations just tend to be, like, I just nerd out about things. I don't know if this is part of it or not, but, like, when I find something interesting and I develop a passion, like, I just, like, nosedive in it. I'm one of those people that really, really, like, gets, when I'm really into an activity or I find an interest, then I tend to spend a lot of my time in it and, like, really immerse myself in it. But, again, that's, I don't know. These things are all still kind of relative and changing. I don't know if that's part of the disorder or not, if it's just me. But from my understanding, it's a little different than this definition of hyperfixation. Yeah, I would say the ones that I've definitely had the hardest time with is, like, yeah, focusing on things that I'm not interested in, time management, and the emotional regulation. So, why is that like that in and of itself important to highlight? Well, like I said, a lot of women tend to display different symptoms than men, and this highlights disparities between how females and males are treated, and also it is tied to a bias within how ADHD has been studied, observed, and diagnosed in the past leading up to now. So women tend to get underdiagnosed, whereas males tend to get more diagnosed. And this really ties back to how the DSM. There we go. The DSM. Diagnostic something manual. So it's basically the holy grail of all psychiatric and psychological mental health diagnoses, and it's something, it's always being updated, changed, and is always evolving. So even that in and of itself means that the diagnoses and the way that certain disorders are understood is going to change over time. So this is very true of ADHD, and yeah, based on the diagnostic symptoms or symptoms that are most recognized in the diagnostic manual, they tend to focus more on hyperactivity-based symptoms, and that's more prevalent in boys. So what happens is that a lot of women don't get the support they need until later in life because they go longer without, they go longer without getting the proper support they need, and longer without knowing that they have the disorder. So I'm going to read off some stats here that I found on, there's a publication called Attitude Mag, ADDITUDMAG, and it's kind of a one-stop for resource. A lot of it is just kind of helpful tools and resources you can use for yourself or for a child with coping with ADHD. But they also had some interesting statistics, which kind of reflect the general trends that we've been talking about. And but yeah, so it's interesting, and they even say on there that studies are only a rough measure of the prevalence of the disorder because they're kind of biased toward diagnosing males, and literally the diagnostic manual is designed for studying children, so it's not going to be very accurate for adults. It is changing, it is updating, but it's still in the process of being updated. So, but previous U.S. studies on adults estimate that between 2.5% to 4.4% of the U.S. population have ADHD, but those rates are rapidly rising, so increasing by something like, by about 123%. That's growing four times faster than the rate of diagnosis in children. So that's really prevalent. That says something right there. It goes to show that adult ADHD is a lot more prevalent than we previously thought or know, and especially in women. And it goes on to say that it's estimated that less than 20% of adults with ADHD are being treated. So that's a pretty shocking statistic. So less than 20% of people with a disorder are getting treatment that they need. Not to mention, this doesn't mention if the treatment that they're receiving is effective or not. So these numbers are probably not entirely accurate. There's probably a lot more people that aren't diagnosed because those rates are increasing so much. And what this also links to is that adults with ADHD also not only tend to get underdiagnosed or are diagnosed often late. They often are presented with comorbid disorders and sometimes will go into treatment for other disorders that are related to ADHD, but end up not getting proper treatment because the treatment they're getting are for symptoms related to ADHD, not ADHD itself. So, for example, so a comorbid disorder just means basically anytime you have multiple conditions, whether it be anxiety, depression, bipolar, ADHD, whatever, at the same time, those are comorbid disorders. So it says here, roughly a fifth to one half of people with ADHD have major depressive disorder. Half have at least some kind of an anxiety disorder, so either generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, phobias, etc. And personality disorders are present in more than half of adults with ADHD. That one I find really interesting. I really wish they'd go into more detail about what specific type of personality disorder or disorders are observed. But what all three of those stats really make me think is that, okay, so any of these disorders could be diagnosed by themselves. Let's take depression, for example. So if you experience major depressive disorder and you go to get treatment for depression and you get ascribed an SSRI, you're on medication, and it continues, and let's say, like, you think that's the issue that they found the issue, you get treatment, and things should get better, right? Well, I think in this case, the treatment, if the underlying issue is ADHD, then the treatment may not work because maybe depression can often arise out of ADHD as a result of having emotional dysregulation, and also just because of, like, say, if you've had repeated issues with struggles in school, or repeated failures in relationships, repeated just, like, struggles in life in general, those conditions tend to create issues like depression and anxiety. So then you have a chicken or the egg argument, like, okay, well, which really is it? Is the depression the problem, or is the depression the result of another underlying issue or disorder? Same thing with anxiety. That's another thing that makes ADHD such a kind of insidious, sneaky disorder, is it could present to so many other things, if its symptoms are other disorders. And it makes it more difficult to really peg down what's going on. But I think the more time the medical community and just community in general, the society at large, the more time we spend learning about ADHD and the more it's understood, the better we'll be able to respond to it. So I think, you know, there is hope. Things are, like we said, this has only really been, these are observations that have only really been done on adults, like, consistently in the last 10 years. So this is very new. And what that means is there's a lot of room to grow and a lot of room to improve. And I'm hopeful, and I believe that things will get better. Things will be better understood in the future. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of room to grow. And so with dealing with like comorbid disorders, that one, you know, I how do you respond to that? I think. I don't know. I don't know if that's really on the person. I think maybe that's a change that should come from within the psychiatric community, the medical community, and them just being better able to identify and rule out other causes, and just kind of, it's going to take a shift in the model to be better able to catch those things. So, but yeah, it just makes it harder to identify stuff because there's so many overlapping layers and things happening with other disorders. And then, of course, yeah, substance use disorder. So that one's another prevalent comorbidity. It says, I think, 1.5%, or people with ADHD are 1.5% more likely to develop substance use disorder. So yeah, those are most of the stats that I had, but I found that was very interesting. And taking a step back, it goes to show, there's still a lot we're learning about the disorder. And in the meantime, the best thing we can really do, like for me as somebody who has ADHD, the best thing I can do, I think, is just keep educating myself and keep trying to learn and better understand what's happening, and therefore understand myself, and then keep and reach out to support groups. So, and I've found a lot of help and support through finding therapy, getting therapy. You can reach out to different ADHD support groups, different groups online, even, you know, there's always a choice you can make. You can always make a choice to either let the condition control you, or, you know, respond to things as are, and seek support. I think that's really the key there. And the thing I think that has helped me most is learning self-forgiveness. And that's taken me a lot of coaching and therapy, and just surrounding myself with people who have the mindset to shift my mindset to that, to being self-forgiving and acknowledging and accepting my reality for what is. And I think that's helped me in my road a lot. It's still something I'm very much actively working on. But, I think that's really the best tool you have in your belt as a person dealing with any kind of mental health issue or any challenge. The power of choice and the power of perception and how you perceive your reality and choose to respond to it. It just takes work. It takes effort. And it's not always easy. I know another thing that I really had to spend some time developing as far as a skill is like working on relationships. So I think one of the stats had also mentioned that people with ADHD oftentimes experience difficulties in relationships. And, you know, when you're talking about things like having emotional dysregulation, like if you're impulsive, and you have a lot of emotions, you tend to have outbursts or not being well able to communicate or understand your emotions, that will inherently kind of create friction in relationships. So the thing that I found has helped me, step one, really, recognize that it's happening. So I now know that I have a tendency to just have emotional reactiveness. I tend to react to things, and I spend a lot of time just learning about my triggers, things that, like, what things set me off, how do I usually respond, and just observing yourself, observing your own patterns and behavior, and then taking away the judgment piece. So thinking, okay, this is a thing that's happening. This is a reality. And This is a tendency I have. However, this tendency or this behavior, whatever, it does not define me. And that is really critical in the building self-acceptance, because once you learn that you don't have to identify with your struggles or with your emotions or your thoughts, like, you are no longer controlled by them. And that, it's really helpful to building self-forgiveness and self-trust, but also being able to communicate to others, you know, why, you know, you may struggle with certain things. And so once you reach that level of self-acceptance and self-understanding, the best thing you can do is communicate. And I that's where I really try to shift my perspective. Like, you know, I try to communicate what I know my struggles are, or if I need something. And yeah, just having, like, really practicing patience. And you may have setbacks. It's not going to be perfect all the time. You know, and at the end of the day, you just have to kind of remember, like, you're still human. Everyone is human. Everyone makes mistakes. And, yeah, I think the thing that is, again, most liberating is remembering that, you know, just because you have an additional struggle or a challenge, it doesn't make, like, you as, like, worth less of a person. It's just, like, it just is a reality that is, and there are many other people in this situation. And that's just, you know, what you can always do is choose how you're going to respond to your situation. And if you choose to handle it with grace and acceptance, you're going to have, in the end, with practice, a much, I think, better quality of life. So that's my goal for myself. And I hope that, I wish that for anyone struggling with ADHD or anyone struggling with any kind of challenge or mental health issue in their lives. And then once you develop those skills, I think other things fall in place. So for me, another area that I've been working on is, like, productivity and work. So I find that I perform really well at things when I'm, like, if it's something that interests me and I can dedicate myself to, then I can do it really well. So writing, for example, and writing about things or issues that interest me is something that I do well because I'm interested in it. It's inherently, like, a skill that I have it's inherently an activity that feels rewarding to me, so it doesn't feel like a chore. So, you know, in my own personal path, I've been looking at transitioning to, or I guess changing the way I think about my career in this sense, because I found that I very much kind of fall into the category of people who, like, if I'm not doing something I enjoy, then I'm just not going to succeed at it. I think that's fairly true of most people, but is especially true if you're living with ADHD. Like, take it back to when I was in school and, like, trying to learn math. Like, if I wasn't interested in it and it didn't make sense to me, my brain is just not going to want to do it. And I started noticing the same tendency at work in certain jobs. Like, if I'm not properly stimulated or I don't have enough room for expression and creativity, I start to get burnt out really, really fast, and then I'm not going to succeed at that job. And so I just kind of accepted this to be the reality of who I am, and rather than resenting it, I could choose to resent it and be like, well, you know, if I didn't have the disorder, maybe it would be easier to just kind of, like, put my head down and do what I need to do and take a job and get by. But, you know, and at the same time, that's also like, okay, but do I really want to live like that? Just going off on a little side tangent, but I just accepted that's who I am, and I'm shifting at thinking about going into more creative work and leaning into the skills I do have. And I think that's really critical for anyone living with ADHD. Learning that, look, you are not your disorder. Like, the ADHD is not the only part of you. It's the thing you live with. It is not you. And therefore, there are many other attributes to you and you, skills that you do have that you are very capable of and you can lean into. And that was a shift in perspective that I had to work on, and coaching has helped me a lot with as well, mentoring and therapy. But learning to see myself not just as, like, I don't know, a faulty person or somebody with something wrong with them, but like, okay, I'm a person living with this. I have some of a different obstacle than some people, but I have all these other skills. I know that I'm creative. I have a lot of other skills and interests that I can lean into and do really well with, and I choose to, like, focus on that. And that's something that, like, really anyone can do, and it's always it's a constant process. But at the end of the day, I think that's what's really worth it. And I think that's just a good way to live in general, because if you're not spending your time, if you're not doing something that brings you joy and is rewarding, then, like, I don't know, what are you doing? I understand sometimes you just got to do things because you got to do them. You got to pay bills. You got to make ends meet and take care of your needs. And sometimes that doesn't always mean, like, doesn't always come from having your dream job or being in your ideal relationship, et cetera, whatever. But those are always things you can work towards. And I actually think, like, being forced to look at things this way through the struggles that I've learned from with ADHD and just life in general has actually made me feel like I'm better directed now. And maybe I wouldn't have learned these things. Like, I wouldn't have prioritized learning these things and learning about myself and making this shift in perspective had I not, like, had ADHD and been forced to confront this reality. So in some ways, I'm kind of grateful that there's some benefits to the experience and having lived with this challenge. But yeah, a lot of it just takes patience. And as far as resources for support with ADHD, I would say, I know it's not always, unfortunately, accessible, but if there's any way you can reach out for any kind of support, like, even if it's online or whatever, just trying therapy and taking time to find a model of therapy that really works for you. It may take some time and waiting, unfortunately, to find, like, a good therapist or find a therapist that is accepting new patients that specializes in ADHD. But I think seeking out any kind of support is an important first step. And if you're able to access therapy in any way, shape, or form, even if it's like a group coaching or group therapy or like calling support line, you know, it's worth a try. And if it's not working, then you can pivot and try somebody else or try other things. And it might take some trial and error and time, which, you know, unfortunately can be frustrating, but at least you're working in towards building a better support system for yourself. And that's always a good place to start. Other resources out there. I like to really just, I'm the kind of person that really likes to educate myself. So I spend a lot of time just researching and learning things on my own. There is, let me see if I can find this resource. So Attitude Mag, it's pretty much spelled like attitude, but with two D's. That's a good resource for finding resources and information on, like, time management and getting things done, as well as understanding the emotional symptoms and how to cope with some of the other dysregulative symptoms. It's kind of a general good base of information. Also, ADT, ADT Mag. Attitude Mag has a self-diagnostic questionnaire, and this is a tool that is meant to be kind of a generic, it's not like a diagnostic tool. Like, you cannot get a diagnosis by filling out this questionnaire. Only a professional can provide a diagnosis. So, if you take this questionnaire and it results as, like, it being like, you might have ADHD, that's not the same thing as a diagnosis, but it can be a helpful place to start. So say if you're questioning whether you have ADHD, and you're not sure how to, like, go about finding out, Attitude Mag has this questionnaire. I actually filled it out once, back up, what was it? About 3 years ago, and I was talking, I had a friend, this is when I lived back in North Carolina, and had a really good friend who also had ADHD. She and I are about the same age, and she was describing a lot of her symptoms, and I realized I experienced a lot of the same things she does, and that really got me thinking. This was also around the same time I was having trouble at work, so it was like just kind of this perfect combination of like things pointing me to look at this and look at ADHD as a possible condition that I have. And so I went to this resource, Attitude Mag, and took the questionnaire, and I scored something within like, I don't know, it's like a two-page questionnaire, and you have a score. You add up how many, like, I think it's like on a scale of 1 to 5, you know, how often do you experience this or do this, and you add in a number for each prompt, and then you add up a total number at the end, and if you score above a certain number, then it will tell you, like, it indicates you have a lot of ADHD tendencies, and that's where I started. So that can be a helpful tool if you're questioning and you don't know where to start. Take a look at the Attitude Mag questionnaire, and then from there, like, I know that's what I used when I was I was already seeing a therapist, but I discussed it with her and showed her the results, and she said, like, that a lot of it made sense, and she advised me and kind of helped me navigate how to get diagnosed. Now, if you are looking to seek therapy for ADHD or you have a therapist, just know that not all therapists can diagnose. There's actually really specific process to getting diagnosed, and it has to be through a psychiatric professional. So there's psychiatry and psychology. The psychiatry deals with like medication management, neurochemistry, and like the actual like medical side of mental health conditions, and psychiatrists are the ones that give diagnoses. So in my case, my therapist helped me find a psychiatrist that I could reach out to and get tested with and get diagnosed, and that's the path I took. It's at least a helpful starting tool. And then, I would just encourage anyone, if you want to know more about ADHD or if you're questioning this about yourself, just take some time to do your own research. You owe it to yourself. Or, you know, if you are living with somebody who has ADHD or you suspect they have, it's just worth getting to just, like, know about it. The way that we change or improve the gap in support and improve the situation and how supportive society is to ADHD is by learning about it. That's the first step. I think that's the first step to improving any issue is learning about it and becoming educated and more well-informed. And therefore, you'll be better equipped to handle and respond to the situation. So just be curious about it. Spend some time learning about it. And just don't be afraid to seek support. I found it incredibly, incredibly helpful. And this is something like, you can have a very high quality of life with ADHD. It just takes some extra support, just like any other mental health condition. And it takes you taking the initiative to invest in yourself at the end of the day. That's really where it all starts. So, I think, goodness, that's most of what I had for today. I really hope this was informational and interesting to those of you listening. And let's see here, the last couple of minutes I have left. I'm trying to look on my phone to see if I had a list of resources that were also helpful. But they're on Attitude Mag, I think they do link to other resources to other, like, find information about getting diagnosed, about symptoms, etc. I think definitely worth looking into those resources. And if this was helpful to you and you enjoyed today's episode, you have other questions, feedback, anything else for me, I would love to hear from you. You can always shoot me an email at sodidyouhear@kyrs.org. I really love to hear feedback from listeners. So if there's anything that you wanted to hear about in future shows, you have a comment about today's show, request, questions, anything, just hit me up. So did you hear at kyrs.org, or of course, We can also shoot me. I think we can find the KYRS webpage has a contact us form, and that's also a great way to get in touch with us. And yeah, so that is what I have for today for you guys. And I'll be back live on the air next week. I will be on the air with a guest, so, and it will be continuing conversation that we started previously. I've been enjoying revisiting old conversations and continuing conversations with guests that I've had on the air maybe one time, but we had more to talk about, so stay tuned for that. And yeah, I will see you next week. I hope everyone has a wonderful Friday and a wonderful afternoon, and stay warm and stay dry, everyone.